to mandatory forms. We wish to modify it for purposes of approving voluntary forms, which will be non-mandatory. Now, that sounds a little contradictory, but it really isn't. Gary Carlson can speak more about the actual forms that are being developed by a committee that he heads. There are a series of forms related to family law. It's to assist pro se litigants in the family law area in filing a divorce and getting a divorce. I think the experience statewide is that more and more people in many counties, the majority of people who are getting divorced are doing it without attorneys. They rarely, if ever, have resources to assist them in filing a divorce and then processing through the whole thing until they get the divorce itself. The concept behind the pro se forms was to provide a uniform set of forms that would allow people to have access to them, pro se litigants or anybody else for that matter, so that once completed, at least the courts would have the assurance that they have at least filled out a document that is legally sufficient to provide the court with the information necessary to go ahead and hopefully do a divorce hearing and take it to completion. What we didn't want to do in RMC, and the Chief Justice is aware of this from a few years back when we discussed our role in creating pro se forms, is we didn't really want to be the people who were obligated to fill the forms. That was only because of time restraints and the manpower that's necessary to do pro se forms, because it's more than a form. It's form plus an explanation. The forms that we generate now, the 400-plus forms that have been generated by the Forms Committee, they have something akin to an explanation and a form summary, but it's not like what one would need to do in a divorce form so that a pro se litigant can kind of go down the checklist and fill out the form in a way that's meaningful, so that when it's filed with the court, then the process can get underway and lead to its completion. We didn't want to do that work simply because, as I've said, we didn't feel we had the manpower, resources, and time to do it. But other people are willing to do it, and we need a clearinghouse in which we can examine the product of those people who wish to work on the pro se project to make sure that everything at least looks good. I'm not suggesting that we're going to go back and take Judge Carlson's working committee's forms and go through and, you know, make any major adjustments ourselves. We don't believe that would be necessary. We trust in what Judge Carlson and his committee are doing, that they're going to do a good job. I'm sure of that. But what we want to be able to do is to take that series of forms then that they generate, make them ours to the extent that they will be coming through the Forms Committee as a clearinghouse and then as a distribution point. And then once we distribute them, we would want them to be the forms that would be distributed at least statewide by the clerk of court's offices if they're going to distribute forms. We're not asking that that is a requirement of the clerk, but we're saying if you're going to, as a clerk of court's, have available to pro se litigants a packet of divorce forms, it would have to be the forms that we've approved.
And I think that may have been where you had a question.
Yes, Chief, that's correct.
But they don't have to use those forms, and they being the pro se litigants. If they choose to use something else, well, they're free to do that because we're not making it mandatory. If an attorney who practices family law wants to use those forms, go right ahead. It's not a problem. As an incentive to using our forms, we are saying that if you properly complete the form, fill in all the blanks that need to be filled in, then the clerk will be obligated to accept the form. And it's nothing more than that obligation that they'll accept it for filing. We didn't put it in the rule, but I suppose by inference it suggests that if the clerk wishes to reject other forms that are submitted that are not RMC forms, I presume the clerk would be free to do that, as the clerk is free to do right now. I mean, it's it's common knowledge that statewide, and I've seen it myself in Sheboygan, people are filing divorce petitions essentially written on a piece of paper with very little information other than they want a divorce, which is not particularly helpful to the court. There's so much more to it. And if at least they complete Judge Carlson's forms, the information that the court will need to do the divorce will be there. So we think this is a good idea.
Justice Bradley?
As I understand the petition, it indicates in 5C on page 8, if a clerk of circuit court distributes voluntary forms, the clerk must use adopted forms whenever they are available for that purpose.
Yes.
That's pretty broad, but let me nevertheless ask the question. Barron County and a local committee, I know they have a very active pro se group in the 10th Judicial District and certainly out of Barron County, if they come up with a form that is a pro se form in Somali, can the clerk make that available to people, even though there is another form covering the same topic area, pro se form in English?
I understand your question, Justice Bradley. If somebody would take the forms that Judge Carlson's committee produces and translate them into Somali so that Somalian people could get a divorce, and then those would be made available through the clerk's office, I wouldn't see a problem with that. I think, however, it would probably be important at some level to have Carmel's committee review those forms to make sure that the translations, at least, are accurate translations. That's always the key, I guess, in this whole process is uniformity. And it's not uniformity simply for the sake of uniformity. It's uniformity for the sake of having legally sufficient information available to the court. And as long as it's done in a way where there's some oversight to make sure that it's legally sufficient and that the right questions are indeed being asked, I suppose that could happen. I wouldn't envision all divorce petitions being translated necessarily into another language because it isn't particularly helpful to the court unless...
Well, it would have to have both languages.
You'd have to have
both.
It'd have to be both. Yeah. I mean, I could see that might be a possibility for pro se litigants who speak Spanish and can read and write Spanish, that they could have a divorce petition that they could fill out that would be in both languages. I could see that happening. Whether Carmel's committee looks to the future to work on that sort of thing, I don't know. I think right now, at least, the main forms they're concerned with are the ones in the criminal law area. But ultimately, probably family would make a logical next group to focus on.
Both you and Judge Carlson, who is the other appearance on this, Paula Seeger of the Dane County Legal Resource Center sent in a letter, which I thought you'd be familiar with, and is supportive, as you know, of pro se activities. And they've been very active in pro se activities. And if I read this correctly, their concern is that they now have other forms than the voluntary forms, and people can use other forms, why can't they continue giving out other forms, especially since they sell some of these other forms and apparently generates some money for the county or the center, whichever it is, and people are, as you know, very reluctant to let go of a dime in these tight fiscal moments. We hope they're moments and not decades. Mm-hmm. So is it essential to your petition that the clerks not give away or sell other voluntary forms? I mean, I can understand mandatory forms, but these are voluntary.
I don't think the clerk should. Now, I don't know if the Dane County Law Library constitutes an arm of the Dane County Circuit Court.
One, I don't know whose baby they are.
And state law library.
But they were a state law librarian. But who funds them now, I am not certain. They may be on contract with us.
It could be.
If they are, I hope they're paying, so we have an interest. That's a joke.
And a good one. I think if the clerk of courts is going to have packets available in the clerk's office, they should absolutely be the approved forms. If other people want to produce and sell or provide for free pro se divorce forms, why not? There's nothing in the rule to prevent that. It's happening now. I mean, there are these companies in Wisconsin that generate pro se divorce forms. Some of them aren't too bad. Some of them are awful because they've been generated really for multi-states, which doesn't always make a whole lot of sense. But if they're there, they're there. People, this is voluntary. The people, the individual pro se litigant can pick and choose. We're just saying that we would like the clerks, if we were more than like, we essentially require the clerks, if they're going to give out a form as a part of the court, as a component of the court system, it's got to be our form. If the litigants want to use something else, we'll go right ahead.
You don't want an official state or county entity endorsing by selling or giving away other forms.
I don't see any reason that should be the case. And we would hope that perhaps by virtue of the fact that Judge Carlson's working group will produce the best product, that in the end, the pro se litigants will gravitate toward the logical place to get their forms, and that would be the clerk of court's office. I mean, if Dane County starts giving them away, and the law library in Dane County is selling them, and I were getting a divorce in Dane County, I think I'd go to the clerk's office and get my packet for free, especially knowing that it's come from the courts, and I would be comfortable doing that.
Any other questions? Comments?
Thank you.
Good presentation. Thank you.
Would you like Judge Carlson to say
something? Sure, we always want to hear from Judge Carlson.
Again, I want to correct one mistake that John is making. He keeps referring to this as my committee. This is Marcia Kozloff's committee. She was appointed by the Chief Justice to do this, and Marcia formed the group, which then formed the task force, of which I am a member. Judge Black from St. Croix County is here. He's also a judicial member of the task force. I am only here to speak in favor of the petition, and if you have any particular questions concerning the current status of the task force and the divorce forms project or what it entails, I'm quite willing to answer any questions that you have.
Why don't you just give the court a brief overview of where you are, what your goals are?
I do have, if the court would like to have it, a list of the forms that we have created. If you'd like to have that, I could give that to the...
But why don't you do that? And I did send to the court, I think some weeks back, Judge Carlson, you sent me an email very briefly describing where you were then, and the court did get that. I forwarded that email to all of the members of the court.
Okay, and in that email I indicated that if there are any problems, blame Marcia.
Right. We got that message.
And I'm sure she would be here today, except she is sunning herself in Arizona as we speak, so I'm taking the lead here. Judge Black and Milwaukee County Family Court Commissioner Mike Brook and I presented to the judges and court commissioners yesterday in Waukesha at the Family Law Conference on the status. The current status is that we have created 33 forms. They are basically ready to go. These forms cover everything in the divorce process up to and including the findings, conclusions, and judgment. And although I said we are not doing post-judgment, there is one post-judgment form. And that would be if the person or the parties have a gone in for a legal separation, there's one document which can be filed after 1 year which converts a legal separation into a judgment of divorce. So that is a post-judgment form. The forms that we are creating are going to be available in three separate distinct places. One will be in hard copy format just at the clerk of court's offices, much as some forms are now available, in packets. If somebody wants a joint petition with children, we'll have a joint petition with children packet, joint petition without children, a petition with or without children. Now, in one of the questions you were asking, there is nothing in our petition which prohibits the courts that are now selling form packets to sell these as form packets. If Dane County wants to develop these into packets, which, in fact, we're intending to do, Dane County, I assume, can sell them. I think other counties sell form packets. Nothing in our petition and nothing that we are doing would prevent a county, if it wishes, to create a forms packet and sell it. The other two places where the forms are available will be off your Supreme Court website, just as all of the some 400 forms that records management has already created are available. You can go to the Supreme Court website, click on Circuit Court, click on Forms, and up comes a list of the forms. The forms will all be available there in two different formats. One I've already mentioned in your last petition. That is, if you want, you can get it in Word. Bring it up in Word, and if you have Word on your computer, it comes up as an interactive fill-in, where you can tab through the form and fill it in, print it out, and use it. You could also print it out as a PDF document, in which case you have the document, and you fill it in by hand. That doesn't change. Also, form summaries have been created for each of the forms, much as all of the forms now have form summaries. The third place, and I think this is the most exciting area, is an interactive website through the Supreme Court. The person would be able to go to the website by answering a few questions on the website. That website or the programming would automatically determine what forms you need, what venue you're in, what county do you reside in. It would allow you to fill out the forms online. It would allow you to print the forms out while you're online. The instructions and the forms themselves are integrated. In other words, we're not printing out a set of instructions and a set of forms. The forms themselves have the instructions as part of the form. If you will look at the hard copy, and I know you don't have copies of the hard copy, but if you would have a copy of the hard copy, on the left-hand side are the instructions as it relates to each line in the form. The form is on the right-hand side. The instructions go down to the left. We did this because we felt that it was much easier for a person completing a form if they're right at a line, it says, well, fill in your name. What is your social security number? Are you asking for a divorce or legal separation? And checking the boxes and filling it in. Now, if you do this interactively on the website, it fills it in for you. If any of you are familiar with what's called TurboTax, a program to complete your taxes, although, of course, I know none of us have enough money in the world to need to use TurboTax. We all use the easy short form, right? Yeah, at least I know Justice Wilcox does.
I have my accountant fill out the short form.
Even though he was on the top of the ripping class. Go ahead.
If you look at a TurboTax program, you never really see the form. TurboTax is done in forms of questions. You're asked a question, and you fill in the question. You ask a question, you fill in the question. And behind the scenes, the form is created for you. That's how the interactive website will be. People can be intimidated by forms. Even though the forms are available in hard copy, even though you can get them off the Supreme Court website, some people are intimidated by having to look at a form. So the TurboTax format allows us to ask a series of questions. And by asking these questions, people are just answering the questions on their computer, either at home, at the law library, at a local public library, wherever they have internet access, and they're filling it out online. And as they fill it out online behind the scenes, the program is completing the forms for you. It basically will ask you the kind of questions to determine whether you need a temporary order Maybe you don't need a temporary order in this particular divorce. Maybe you do. If you do, the questions will lead you through that and then create as well the forms needed for the temporary order to get one scheduled. If you fill out a form completely online, the instructions I mentioned will disappear. They won't be needed. So when the form is printed out, the form will print out as a form without the instructions. But if you skip something, maybe you get to a question where you don't know the answer, or you've got to look up the answer. You can skip the question, but if you print out the form, the instructions for all of the lines you've completed will disappear. But the instruction for the line you did not complete will remain. Why? As a red flag. Not only the person who's completing the document, but for the commissioners and judges who have to use the document. If we get the forms and we find that there's instruction there that tells us there's a red flag, we'd have to look, did they fill it in by hand? CCAP is intending to allow people to retain this information for a period of time so that you can put in a passwords that is user selected, so that the information is retained online, so that at a later date you can go back in and complete the remainder of the forms you need. Why is that needed? Because we have a 4-month waiting period. Most people probably should not complete the marital settlement agreement or the findings of fact, conclusions of law, and judgment at the time they're creating their petition. Things change between then and later.
How long will the forms be retained for?
The data, at this point in time, I picked a length of time out of the air, literally, and said 6 months. That is mostly contingent on how much data is, how many people are going to actually be retaining it, because it's a matter of space. How much space do we want to allocate in the CCAP system for retaining this data? There's nothing magic about 6 months. That can be 9 months. It can be a year. Whatever we would want. 6 months, I think, would be at least a minimum, given a 4-month waiting period. Probably a year is better, but then if this is used a lot, then we get a lot of data that's being stored, and we'd rather not take that space. But then actually, space is getting much, much cheaper. Storage is cheaper in computer words nowadays. But that is the idea, that it would then be able to go back in.
And they can always store it hard copy themselves, and should.
They can keep their own hard copies as long as they want. Now, in addition, the checklist that you go through would ask the questions, have you been a resident of Marathon County? You know, what county are you intending to file in? Marathon County. It would ask, have you been a resident of Marathon County for at least 30 days? Because if you aren't, you're not jurisdictionally able to file in Marathon County. But if you do have meet the jurisdictional requirements, when you complete the form, all of the Marathon County data will be automatically inserted. It'll change, it'll take the caption and turn it into a Marathon County. What's more, for example, in the summons and the petition, particularly with children, you have to notify the child support agency. It will fill in the data for the name and the address and the phone number of the child support agency for Marathon County. It will fill in the name and the address for the family court commissioner for Marathon County. What's more, in the checklist, the procedural checklist we're doing for the clerks of court to complete, which we hope to have online by May 1, that's our goal right now. That document will be asking the clerks as well, do you have individual requirements in your county for documents? Something that Milwaukee County, Waukesha County, Sheboygan, Taylor, whatever, has as an individual requirement that you want. When you ask for the procedural checklist to come in from the instruction sheet for Marathon County or that county, not only will it print the forms that you need for Marathon County, it will print any individualized copies that Marathon County alone requires. That would be, for example, say in Taylor County, we have, like many other counties, a program for parents to attend before they can get a divorce on parenting. We call it the SMILE program. Start making it livable for everyone.
Oh, no.
Isn't that cute? Okay, we can all laugh. All right, fine. We stole it from Michigan. I'm sorry. We copied it straight out of Michigan. But anyway, so when a person is getting the list of forms and the checklist for how to do a divorce in Taylor County, out will come the order as well for the Marathon County SMILE program. Automatically. If they don't have a program like that in Barron County, I know they do, but I made it up. If they don't, he wouldn't get it. In other words, we're trying to make sure that whatever they do and they get is directed specifically to the county where they're going to be filing, because everybody does it differently. Justice Bradley, you have a quizzical look on your face, and I know you're going to ask me some hard question.
Let's not. This may be a question you can't answer. First of all, let me.
Madam, there's no question I can't answer.
You just may not be following the right.
We were.
We're counting on you, Judge Carlson.
We're looking for a correct answer, though.
My first response is, wow.
Which is basically, Justice, the response when people have seen the demo that we've done for the website.
Oh, how amazing. And that leads me to recall a comment made by, in the written comments of the Dane County Legal Resource Center that have been submitted here today. And in those comments is this question. I worry that once this project is over, it won't be picked up again. Perhaps there are plans in this regard that I'm not privy to, but there hasn't been any indication that the efforts expended on this project will be continued in the future, and that concerns me. And there was some mention earlier in this statement about a position, a statewide coordinator or something like that. Now, maybe you are able to answer if that is in the future, but what happens now that at least a part of the committee's efforts have been completed? What's tomorrow? What's to continue with this great work and this ever-increasing need in our state to address the pro se population?
I have been a judge in Wisconsin for 25 years. In that 25 years, I've had the privilege of working on what I believe are the two greatest projects the Wisconsin court system has created, CCAMP and records management. I've been intimately involved with both of those programs, not only from their inception, but before their conception. With respect to records management, the chief met with the Records Management Forms Committee several years ago when she made the comment she'd like to have pro se divorce forms. At which point, the Wisconsin Records Management Forms Committee started tearing out its hair because we said, we don't have the time. We really, you don't know what you're expecting. We convinced the Chief Justice to come and meet with us at East Town Suites, whereupon we bombarded her with the problems she, by that little request, was going to create for our committee. And she said, I agree. You guys can't do it. However, a separate task force, working for over a year now, with meetings, Ed, I think we've met two to three times a month on these forms, has created the forms. The Records Management Committee has agreed to take over the process of maintaining and updating the forms. That is a great concession. Their only requirement was someone else create the forms. We've done that now. They will take it over. I think I have never seen a state committee more responsive to changes in the law than records management in updating and changing forms. When the law changed, if the legislature passed a law and they never followed our request, they never, ever follow our request to say, set the new date for the law to take effect at least 4 to 6 months down the road, so we've got time to change. They don't do that. I mean, they pass the law, it's effective the day after publication. That's tomorrow. I know that when I was the chair, I know that with Judge Murphy as the chair, if that happened, the form was changed literally immediately, sometimes almost overnight, to get the new forms out. There is not a lot of change in family law in terms of the forms and the process. There's some new laws going. There's a new codification that's been introduced. I'm not sure what AB 123, I think it is. I'm not totally sure what it is. A new codification of the family law, which is not supposed to make any substantive changes, only changes in terms of the statutes and putting things together. One substantive change, taking Social Security numbers out of the public forms, which should have been done years and years ago, in my opinion. Records management is extraordinarily responsive to changes in the law. What's more, CCAP, in my opinion, has been extremely responsive as well. If there are changes in the law, if they create a new assessment, we get those things out to the clerks of court before that assessment takes place or as soon thereafter as we possibly can. Justice, I think I can assure you that between records management and CCAP, there will be continuity in the process of maintaining and updating these forms and the website. I envision a time to somewhat support Carmel here, that when you go into that interactive website, like some websites, you're going to be able to pick the language. Espanol, Francais, Hmong. In Taylor County, we've translated several forms into Spanish and Hmong already that we've needed, much like you're talking about. I think that the website at some point, you'll be able to go into that and say, okay, I need the website in Spanish. And you'll be able to go through it in Spanish and complete the documents online, printing out an English version of them. Because unfortunately, if the form came to me in Spanish, I'm pretty good in Spanish. I can read and understand a lot of it. But, you know, I'm not sure I would want to try to do the form in Spanish. I think it's covered, Justice.
I hope it is.
I hope that's the right answer.
Has there been a favorable impact on the workload of the circuit court as far as these forms? I mean, they're being more standardized. I'm thinking back when...
Had a terrible impact on the circuit court of Taylor and St. Croix County. Quite honestly. Because we've just taken so much time to do it.
But I mean, other than... I'm talking about... in your workload out on the bench.
Well, is pro se a workload? 50% of my divorces are by people who do not have a lawyer. Neither side is represented by counsel.
I understand that.
More than half of my small claims are pro se.
When I'm talking about 14 years ago when I was a trial judge, there obviously was not as many pro se.
Oh, you're right.
But I remember some difficulties because of the different approaches that one would see. Someone would come in with nothing more than, you know, a piece of paper they got in Winnebago County that was sold to them for $1.50, and somebody else would have something in handwriting. I'm assuming that this, by standardization, it's going to ease the work, or no comment on that?
The clerks of court are clamoring for these forms. One of the number one requests that they get at clerk of court offices around the state is, I need a set of divorce forms. And about all the clerks can do is send them off someplace else, which they don't like. They don't feel comfortable doing that, but they have to do that. But there are a lot of requests. I think with the availability of packets, with the availability of the interactive website, it will make it much easier for the courts. I have people who come into my court with forms from the state of Minnesota. And they say, you know, Dakota County, Minnesota on the top of them. I don't know where they get them and why they think they're going to be good in Wisconsin, but they do. I think in terms of the impact on judges, it's going to be much better if I have a set of forms approved by the state, which I know are legally sufficient, which I can tell have been completely filled out literally at a glance. It's going to make it a lot easier for me in the court when I have to deal with people. I have people when I'm in court and they come, they've gotten to the point in time, they're at the final hearing, I'm sitting up where you are, they're sitting down where I am, and I say, do you know what to do now? And they say, no. I say, you're expecting me to lead you through this, aren't you? Yeah. And I do. Most of us judges do, because we just have to. You've got to get these cases through. And then I get to the end and I say, okay, I need another document. It's called the Findings of Fact, Conclusions of Law, and Judgment of Divorce. Do you know what that is? And I get this blank stare. I don't know what you're talking about. What is that? And here's how I get them. I say,
You guys ever watch soap operas on TV? Yeah? It's the final papers they're always talking about in soap operas. It's the final papers. Oh, the light goes on. We need the final papers. Where do we get them? And I say, well, I don't know. But I can't do them for you. If I have a place I can send them, if I can tell them when they come in, do you have the final papers ready? No. Okay, here's what I want you to do. Run down to the library, fill them out. I don't think it worked quite that way. I can do that. I can send it to go to the clerk's office and tell them to go to the clerk's office, get the documents, fill them out. I think it'll be much better. A question and a suggestion we had yesterday at the family law conference is there a way to contact them? Because you have to have the findings done within 30 days of the final hearing. That is a problem. I'm constantly having to get hold of people and say, hey, you haven't filed your findings. I usually get them by saying, you know, you're still married until I sign these. Then I get them. I don't know where they come up with them, but they do at some point in time. Suggestion was made. Well, can't we send them an email? You have to file your findings within 30 days. You haven't done so yet. You've got 10 days yet to do that. Well, I suppose I can't see any reason why through CCAP we wouldn't be able to work something out like that. It's another one of those suggestions. Is it going to make the workload easier? I think it's going to help us. I think people will feel more comfortable when they come to court. If you've got a checklist that you've got printed off that says, here's what you've got to do your divorce. You've got to go here. And you can literally check it off. You go here, 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 here. You've got to do this step, that step, and this other step. I think they're going to feel more comfortable.
Thank you.
Justice Press.
I want to say, first of all, I share Justice Bradley's almost amazement at the work that you have accomplished. It's stunning. You mentioned the SMILE program.
Mm-hmm.
The one thought that occurred to me as I was listening to this is how dramatically society has changed from those days when you couldn't even get a divorce very often. My question is this, are we making it so easy to get a divorce that people are not going to be thinking at all about the ramifications of what they have done? Now, you talked about the SMILE program, but...
just divorce in general. Do we make it too easy for people to get a divorce?
I mean, it's
almost... Isn't that a legislative decision, decision, Justice? Like, they made it for us. We've got to help the people who are out there who want to do this. And... is it too easy to get a divorce? Sure it is. I mean, all you need now is one person who says the marriage is irretrievably broken. Most I can do if the other one says, no, it isn't, is say, well, I can order counseling. Would it do any good? No. Okay, the marriage is irretrievably broken. Granted, get out of here. We went to a no-fault system, what, 1978, I think it was? I'm not totally sure about the timing on that, but is it easy to get a divorce? All you need is one person.
74, I think.
What was it?
I think it was 74, Justice Babbage.
I yield to the superior wisdom.
Oh, well, Justice Babbage was the author.
We can look it up. Don't fight.
Can't we all just get along? You know, that was mentioned. That's what sometimes you just like to say in court. Can't we all just get along? I don't know, Justice. You're asking a political question and a philosophic question. Should we make it easier? Should we make it really tough for people to get a divorce if you're pro se? You know, I think there's three kinds of pro se litigants. We have poor people who just don't have the money, and there are no legal services available to them. They just have to. If they're going to get a divorce, this is the only way they can do it. Then we have people who have the money, but they're cheap. Okay? They're just cheapskates. They're stupid, too, in my opinion, but they're just cheapskates. And they won't go out and hire a lawyer because they think, I should be able to do this myself. And then you have the dedicated pro se court haters who think that everybody's against them, particularly lawyers. It's all a conspiracy. And they wouldn't hire a lawyer if they had $1 billion. We can help the first two. That third group, they're kind of, not much you can do about them. But I think, you know, we have to help the people who either can't or at least have chosen not to go with a lawyer. I much prefer lawyers in court. It makes it so much easier. But I can't afford to give lawyers to everybody in civil cases. My county doesn't have the budget to do that. It doesn't answer your question, Justice, because it's just too philosophic. And I'm not a philosophy major. I was a business education major. So
you think that poor people should get the same rights to get an easy divorce as rich people who have lawyers?
Well, how do I not answer? Of course, Justice, I think that is a wonderful, wonderful goal for the court system.
Which is what?
From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel here today?
No.
Okay. No, I can't protect the crowd.
All right. You know, I was only here to answer any questions you had. So
oh, they may have more.
I don't know if you have any more, but...
I have a question about Ms. Seeger's submission, which was excellent, objecting to if the state system or local county system is going to give out forms, then it should be the forms that come through the Records Management Committee, through you.
Absolutely.
And why? Just tell us why, because she makes...
I recall a time when everybody and his brother were doing forms. That is why we created the Wisconsin Records Management Committee. Number of reasons. One, we wanted to centralize the forms development process. Two, we wanted to standardize the process. Three, we wanted sets of forms that judges, clerks, commissioners, registers in probate, juvenile clerks, and litigants could rely on as being legally sufficient. Four, we wanted them to be affordable, basically free. I mean, you can go to the website on the Supreme Court and get any form you want for free and print it off. I think if the court is going to create forms, those are the forms the court should distribute, period. Now, I want you to understand, Judge Black is here from the 10th District. The 10th District did a comprehensive divorce forms project. There are forms available on the St. Croix website. Waukesha County has a fantastic self-help center with forms on their website. Who is on our committee that has developed these forms? Judge Black from the 10th District. Tara Naring, the self-help coordinator for Waukesha County. Milwaukee County is involved as well with their forms. The 6th District came to me and said, we're thinking about a forms project for divorce. I said, wait, we're doing it. And we're going to do it better. We have taken into consideration the best aspects of the 10th District forms, of the Waukesha County forms, of their procedure manuals, of their processes. We're trying to standardize and bring them together. There should be a certain degree of uniformity around this state, not only in terms of forms, but also in terms of process and procedures. This helps in that aspect. When we're asking the clerks to fill out the procedural checklist for this county, it's causing people to think about the way they do things. Why is it if I go to Taylor County to get a divorce, it's different than if I go to Sheboygan County? Should it be different? This process helps at least in the standardization. You may recall if you were on the court or if you were in practice or as a judge before records management forms, before we created records management, there were no forms out there. Everybody was doing their own thing. It has gotten a lot better. In this regard, in terms of Dane County, I don't want to blow Dane County off. Professor Mansfield of the University of Wisconsin Law School is involved in our project in terms she and her group are testing the forms for us in Dane County. If there are forms, if the court system develops them and is going to distribute them, let those be the ones that we distribute. We are not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We're not ignoring what Waukesha, 10th District, and Dane County have done. They've all led the way. But now let us move on with standardized forms. And if we're going to have them available, they should be ours. Pure and simple.
Judge Carlson, on behalf of the court, let me say to you, Judge Murphy, and all the other people sitting in this courtroom and those who are not here, this is more successful, stunning, wow, than my wildest expectations. Wildest expectations. And hats off to all of you. As you very well know, the pro se project started at the state level with John Velker's report and committee many a year ago when he was my executive assistant. And we put in as much state resources as we could and then stimulated local judges and local people to take up the cry. And they did very successfully, and you've mentioned some of them. And when it reached a particular stage to show the need and the ability to do it, we then went back to trying to get the state to coordinate and standardize. And hired Marcia Kozloff, because of her prior work in it, as my executive assistant for a short period in order to accomplish this. And as you very well know, I haven't had an executive assistant for more years than I care to think of, because that's our contribution to the fiscal crisis from the state level. So you all have just done a phenomenal job, and I can't tell you how proud I personally am and how proud the court should be and is of this work on a shoestring.
We would like, if you have the ability to make your decision quickly, April 21st, Records Management is meeting. They've set aside time to review the forms. They have been involved in the process. Judge Kiefer and Bonnie Bauer, my clerk, did sit in on forms development, so they have seen the forms. If you would like to see the forms themselves, I'd be most happy to send you copies of them so that you can take a look at the hard copy version of the forms themselves. But our goal, as I said, is to get the interactive questionnaire for the clerks up on May 1. We're going to be, as soon as you'd have approved the petition, if you approve the petition and records manager approves the forms, we're going to get them out there. The interactive website we're hoping to have up and running for the state by fall. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your work and your appearance. And thank you to Judge Murphy, too. Right, I know it was a special sacrifice to do that. Are there any other appearances on behalf of or in opposition to or information of 0502? Hearing none, we'll close the hearing on 0502. We'll close the hearing 0504, and I'll go back.